Now, when the topic Sisters Remember Malcolm was developed, there was one sister that had to be here. We reached out to her, and then we reached out to her again, and we reached out to her again and again. And then she reached back, and it was beautiful. And we didn't know she was here, but she's here because she had to be here. She doesn't need any introduction. This sister is bad. Sister Sonia Sanchez.
Does this machine let down, I hope?
I love these patriarchal podiums, you know?
It is a pleasure being on the panel with Sisters Donna and Vicky and Sister Jane. And it's a pleasure being here, seeing Abdul and all of you talking about Malcolm. But it's above all a pleasure to see Sister Betty Shabazz, whose testament to Malcolm is that she decided to live and stay alive with her children. And she did that against great odds. So we honor her. I'm torn about whether I should do a prepared paper or just talk about, let me just start off maybe by talking about the importance of a man by the name of Malcolm, the importance of someone who would end up as Shabazz, the importance of a man who gave me a moral mission. And people don't like to talk about morality anymore, you know what I mean? I mean, like, you know, Sonia, but you know what I mean by them. I'm talking about the old way of talking about morality, people. I'm talking about the idea of what it really, 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 really means to have a moral vision for your people. I think about my father, you know, who used to tell me lots of tales, my father who's this great griot, you know? And we were always so young, we never had the time, we wanted to just get out the way, get out the door real fast. But my father tells the story about the first black pilot in America. My father tells the story about when in the late 40s, this first black pilot was going to fly from New York to California. And the white folks got on the plane and looked in the cockpit and saw that it was a black pilot and got upset. And so they called, at that time they called them stewardess. They said, stewardess, is that correct? Is that by chance a Negro up there? And she said, just a minute, 1 minute. So she rushed to the cockpit and she opened the door. I mean, she came in inside and closed the door and said to Captain Jones, the people are upset. And he says, don't worry about it, Debbie. Just go back inside and just announce to them that I will get on the intercom and talk to him. And she did. And he said, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Captain Jones. I am your pilot for this trip to California this morning. But before we take off, I want to tell you just a little bit about myself. He says, I am a graduate of Harvard University. I am also a graduate of MIT. I am also a graduate of Oxford University. And during World War II, I taught all of the pilots how to fly. So if you would just settle down and calm down, I will see if I can get this big MF off the ground. And we really need to ask ourselves, can we indeed get this big one off the ground? Because it's huge. You see, I didn't come here to talk about whether you remember Malcolm or whether you wear Malcolm shirts or whether you wear African dress or whether you don't wear African dress or whatever. No, 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 no. I didn't come here to talk about icons. I came to talk about a living, living man. A man who walked and breathed and impregnated a woman, a man who lived and taught, and when we heard his voice, we couldn't be fools anymore, people. You know what it is not to be a fool anymore? You know what it really means not to be a fool anymore? Do you really understand that? I mean, because I see fools every day. Go back to my text. I'm not too sure. But he looked at us, you know, and looked and saw and understood why we thought what we thought about ourselves, people, you know, and with his gentleness, you know, with his love for his people, he looked at us all and changed us. Isn't that so, Betty? He changed us. He made us not only human, but he made us really, truly the woman and the women we had to be. Because women, black women, have always been women here. You know what I'm saying? We have always supported, you know, our families and built the buildings and built the schools, have we not? And protected, yes, we have. But he said something else to us without saying it specifically. Look at the sisters now. Just because for one little instance on the idiot box, they were willing to become sexual objects again. Look at people talking about, I have talent. I said, is that talent? We used to call it something else when I was growing up, you know. It wasn't talent. We have sisters now. You see, you're saying, okay, you're talking about this stuff. Sisters now who come out on the idiot box in a state of undress. And the women's movement, which came from the black movement, didn't mean for us to get on the stages of America and say, ooh, I got talent, you know what I'm saying? To show our underwear, come on, how is that gonna change the world? How is it gonna feed children? How is it gonna change Harlem? How is it gonna change North Philadelphia? How is it gonna put food in our mouths? How is it gonna make us be alive? How would that make us get rid of the perilous, huh? Coming out on the stages talking about, I got talent. So what, fool? Who in the hell cares if your butt is big or not, huh? Who cares? Who really cares? What we care about is that if you truly understood what Malcolm was talking about, and the people who have come before Malcolm, they said simply, they will always put things in your way to keep you from moving towards liberation. They will always put men and women in your way to keep you from moving on. They will always put things in your way, from money, from the idiot box, pornography, you name it, in the way to keep you from moving on and walking upright like a human being, like the human beings we be, people. You know it. And the key is that that's what Malcolm did. Because you see, we saw plenty of people before Malcolm growing up in Harlem, I did. But what did he do? He said, I'm a man and I'll talk back. I will come among people on the idiot box, in universities, you know, in mosques, you know, in churches, and I'll come in as a man. I will come in as a man and I will meet them as an equal. And that's what he released us from, feeling inferior, as because Queen Mother Moore told us all that we were born, they made us Negroes in a place called America, didn't she? Yes, she did. Made us Negroes in a place called America. And as Negroes, we walk like Negroes, you know what I'm saying? Eyes down always, you know what I'm saying? Unwilling to look up. So we acted like Negroes. But he came on the scene and said things out loud on the idiot box. We said, oh God, don't do that. Don't do that, Malcolm. Don't say that. Don't say that. We ducked. I know revisionists. We all ducked. You remember you were ducking. Yes, you were. It's the truth. Everyone's like, oh, not me. Not me. I mean, I was up there saying, yeah, brother. Yeah, brother. Yeah, brother. Come on, you lie. Malcolm said, when he said, we ducked, he said, oh, brother, don't say it. Oh, ooh, 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 ooh. You think white people might know that? Ooh, ooh, what do you think white people are going to do? He said it out loud. Said it out loud, loudly. And then all of a sudden, we stopped ducking. We said, went downtown on the social. That's right. That's right. Looked at people, get out my face. That's right. Yes, we did. That's what we did. We started walking upright. But on our jobs, people mess with us. They say, get out my face. What you talking about? Huh? What you mean? Whenever he did a speech, people went to their jobs, and white folks always questioned, this Mr. X, this Malcolm, whatever. That's what they did. And you got to understand how he allowed us all to be. He allowed us all to flush out inferiority. He allowed us all to walk upright, and he allowed us all finally to say, hey, I am this African. I am indeed this black man, indeed this black woman, walking upright. And we did it, people, didn't we? Yes, we did. We did it. We walked. We held our heads up, and we walked, and we said, I will take on anybody. And we did that. And some of us then, after he died, continued that. From the Black Arts Movement, as Sister Jane talked about, people coming and doing things on to Black Studies. Yes, we did. Started Black Studies, African American Studies in America, because we vowed that no one would come to a university and not take a Black lit class, not take a Black Social class or a Black History class, huh? Not here. We began to stretch our minds finally. You see, because what he did with those little things that he was writing and doing, when Malcolm would give a speech and mention something, we all would write it down and run to the library. Yes, we did. Jean Hudson got so tired of seeing all of us most of the times at the Schomburg, she didn't know what to do. Because we didn't know this. We didn't know the history. No, we didn't. We didn't know the history, people. And he sent us to the libraries of America. You know that? We ran and we began to learn. We became scholars. Because Malcolm was a scholar. See, people want to talk about him always as being Orwell's. But he was the one giving us these first Black history things. Yes, he did. Made us run and become bona fide scholars. Made us run and become bona fide scholars. Understand that. Because he was writing. Because he was learning. Because when he learned and when he wrote, he brought it to us. Always, here's something new for you today. And then we run, turn right around and go back and began to study. So therefore, everything I wrote became historical. I couldn't talk without bringing the history into it. Why? Because I understood finally. And he put us all in checkmate in a sense. Because, you know, sometimes when you're beginning to write and you get out there, you think you're the first. You know, nobody's come before you. You know what I mean? So we start studying the history. We went back and looked back and saw all those other folk who had been there before us. And we said, oops, we are just a continuation of those people. So he made us humble. He made us finally understand, you know, that when you clap for those sisters, you're clapping for me. We don't sit up there and say, oh, look at the sisters up there. How you clap? No, you're clapping for us. We know that. There's no enmity between us, just as there should be none between you and me, people. Because one of the ways these people keep us control over us is how? By making us envious and jealous of each other. And you sometimes promote that nonsense also, too. But we got to say, no way. No way. And because of people like Malcolm, we started the courses. I taught the first course on the Black woman in America. Isn't that something? I said simply, at some point, being on the university, and all the sisters, I mean, I was in my office counseling women until 9 and 10 o'clock at night. I finished teaching at 2 o'clock. But they were going crazy in this place called America. And I said, just jokingly, we need a course on the Black woman. And they said, yeah, do it, Sonia. And so we did it at the University of Pitt. We did that. Sent it upstairs, they sent it back downstairs. What kind of course you going to do on the Black woman? What books would you have? Send it back upstairs, sucker, here they are. You know what I'm saying? Because they didn't think in any way we could have a course on the Black woman. And we did that, and we brought in, we pulled up all the women from Africa to this America, to the Americas, to slavery, on to civil rights, until the Black power moving on to whatever, whatever, whatever. And say, here they be, read the books, look at them, taste them, understand that history, understand that constant history, that forever history. So sisters, how are we going to remember Malcolm? Brothers, how? By looking good? We've always looked good. Malcolm looked good in those days when he was slick. Oh, yes, he did. Look at those pictures. He looked good. You know that. In those sexual rooms, he looked good. But that's not the Malcolm we want you to remember. Come on. Because some of y'all, that's what you want.
You see, you want those silk shirts and all that, looking good, you know, prowling on the streets of America now. Oh, sure, he prowled, but he stopped prowling. He began to prowl for our minds. He began to prowl for our souls. He began to prowl for our, not only our history, but our future. And our future in America means we can't prowl those streets like he used to do in those old days. We got to talk about new days, new ways of prowling, people. Isn't that so? New ways of holding ourselves, new ways of talking and being. Come on, you know it. How are you going to remember Malcolm, people? How are you going to remember Malcolm, sister? Huh? By going to the beauty parlor, getting nails so long you can't even work? Huh? Is that how you're going to do it? By prowling the bars these days, huh? For men in the midst of what's going on in the world, that's how you're going to change the world? Is that what you're about? You want to remember Malcolm? Because I read the autobiography some students said of Malcolm X and, wow, he was hip. There was nothing hip about Malcolm. I mean, you could call him hip if that's your terminology. But Malcolm, go on, listen to it. Malcolm, let it resonate. Malcolm wasn't just a hip dude walking in the Harlem's of America. Malcolm was a man of God. He was a man of God. Come on. Not a man of God like you go to church just to pray after you do your shit on the weekend. Okay, not that kind of God. After you've been with your man. Oh, I was with my man last night. Of course he got a wife and five babies, but I was with my man. So you go to church the next day and sit up front and cross your legs to God. Huh, not that. What are you telling me, huh? How are you going to remember Malcolm, huh? In 1991, when we're almost on the 21st century. How are you going to remember, huh? By saying, oh, you still talking that stuff? Huh? That stuff about the past, the 1960s, huh? I give myself to my job. And I give myself to God. If you give yourself to God, then you're in the streets, sister, brother. Giving yourself to God means you walk God-like on the streets of America, changing. You give yourself to God, you become God-like. Come on, God-like, walking upright, God-like, sister, brother, okay? And walking God-like means you don't let just a few people do the work, you work also. And that doesn't mean just giving yourself to a job, to a gig, to a slave, and then coming home, you know, drinking your beer, burping, and turning on the idiot box. Watching soap operas, talking about as the world turns. If you black, you better know how the world turns. If you Latino, you better know how the world turns. If you Asian, if you gay, you better know how the world turns, people. Isn't that so? Dude comes home, says, Marsha, darling, I hear you're pregnant. She says, oh, John, you've just come home from Europe. I'm so happy to see you. You've been gone 6 months. He says, yes, darling, I hear you're pregnant. She says, yes, but it's not yours. The music goes, dun, 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 dun. And all of us gathered around the idiot box, talking, ooh, girl, it's getting to the good part. He crosses the stage, opens the drawer, takes out two gold tipped cigarettes, lights some hands, one turns to her, says, darling, do you want to talk about it? She says, yes, I do want to talk about it, John. Remember, that weekend you went away to be with Doreen. Because you were mad at me. That weekend I went up to Buffalo and there I saw Tom and he was in the hospital with a broken right foot and a broken left knee bone and a broken right arm and a crushed in chest cavity and a brain concussion. I went to the hospital to see him and it happened there. Inane stuff, people. But we watch it. America says, I will drug you. I will drug you. Give you soap operas, make you think it's important. Even put in a newspaper, if you miss your soap opera, I'll give you a summary. I will drug you every day. Miss your classes just to see who's sleeping with whom. But you know already. You knew it before. Ha ha, yes you did. I will drug you. I will give you crack, 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 crack.
Because you can't afford some of you the other kind, so I will then do what? I will do what all good capitalists do. I will make it available to you. I will make it cheaply cheap, give it to you, shove it into your communities, you see, and you will crack your skulls and your mama's skulls, literally, and your grandmother's skulls, literally, too. You can crack your black people's skull, too, but I will give it to you because I understand how you sell things in this workforce, in this workplace. And then you remember, in the 1960s, some of us stood on stage and said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't take drugs. I was booed. I got a long memory. My memory is not short. I only said, Sonia, we're so tired of you. Every time you turn around, you talk about drugs. Drugs. Always talk about drugs, girl. You know what I'm saying? I'm sick and tired of you talking about drugs. I remember. Don't put her on no stage no more. She's going to come out there acting moral-like. You know, be sick and tired of that moral stuff. Let's just get down with the poetry. I'm saying to you that if we had dealt with the drugs in our neighborhoods in the 60s and 70s, if we could have given up our weaknesses of, well, I don't really deal with drugs, so I just take a little pot every now and then, but the same dude selling the pot was selling the heaviest stuff, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I just do a little coke every now because I want to feel 20 feet tall, you know, so I can really get it on. But we allowed it to come in to our neighborhoods. And once they got into our neighborhoods, they stayed in our neighborhoods. And you know it and I know it because we couldn't say it's their walk over it. It's their walk around it. It's their kick it out. It's their organize. It's their let us get them out and not let them come back. If you remember Malcolm, you got to do that today. And anyone in here dealing, anyone in here on the stuff cold turkey tonight, if you really love Malcolm, and see, some of y'all can smirk and smile and say, yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? But you see, if we don't do it, there's no market for it. I mean, they had to open up that stuff and give it to us. Did they not? Yes, they did. If we had dealt with that before now, we got a whole economy now, you know, residing on drugs. We have a black economy residing on drugs. And you and I know that just as Queen Mother Moore called for reparations for our people for years, I remember more than 20 years ago. Yes, she did. I had to ask her in the ignorant fact, what are reparations, when I first heard her in the early 60s talking about it, you know? She had looked at me like I was some idiot and explained it to me. You know what I'm saying? Yes, she did. In the same way, some of us have called, I have called specifically for a 15-year plan for African-American people. We need to plan how we're going to live and die in this place called America. We cannot leave it to chance. You know it and I know it. We cannot leave our living to chance anymore. You know, we've got to do that. We've got to call people, not for something like we all get up and look cute, but call in the PhDs, the economists, you know what I'm saying, the sociologists, yes we do, the educators, and do what? Sit down. For example, in terms of education, we must have a viable plan. So that plan goes to every city in this country that says if you teach our children, you must follow this educational plan. And then we must have the people to back it up. We must then get the people who can organize to organize the people. So if you don't follow this plan in these damn schools, then we will like will come in and take over those schools. You know it's the truth. We got the PhDs to do it. They can do that. You see, but the point is that we'd rather just come in and look cute. We'd rather come in and just look cute. Yes, it's true. Because what do you want to do? So you'd rather clap and look cute and go home and talk ideas as opposed to doing the things. Come on, people. See, I don't get big claps on that. It's true. Because it means work. It means discipline. It means planning. It means no TV. It means no news coverage. It means simply sitting down and saying, our people will not make it to the 21st century unless we, in a sense, begin to talk about what it means. It means also we have a thing on drugs, on a health committee, but a whole section on drugs, which means then the people who can do that will meet with the people who are dealing drugs in our community. I mean, sit down and meet with them. And that means the brothers coming out of prison will have jobs.
So they got to be some tough dudes to do that, if you understand truly what I'm saying. I'm talking about sitting down planning, people. If we truly love Malcolm, if we truly love Betty, the only way that we can really repay him his life, his strength, his love for us is to plan, is to organize and unite and plan and organize and unite and plan and organize and unite. Those aren't hypothetical words, people. They're not just words that we're just throwing out there, but they must be put out there again to the universe for us all to hear and deal with in our time. Isn't that so? So I did this long paper called, and I'll give it to you, called Rebirth of Women as Participants in Civilization, going from the history to the present, because we've always done this, and how women were taken out away from this at some point, and how they've been brought back into that work and participation. Because this was the panel with women talking about remembering Malcolm, and I thought it was important that you understood also too, that for us to understand and do that kind of paper, that we had to have people who loved us to such a point that they made us become scholars and not fools. And that's important, because I'll tell you now, I was one of the biggest fools walking on the planet Earth. And I remember, you know, until I saw and looked in that man's face and understood fully what it was, you know, to be not just educated, but to look up and finally become a knowledgeable woman. You know what I'm saying? With information to give and share. So I want to end up with a piece from a new book of mine called Shakedown Memory. It's a piece where... I don't know if I can handle the book, but I can't sit down and read and shift this microphone back and forth. But I like to call on people who have done some things in our time. Ella Baker, C.L.R. James, Asata, Nzinge Shea, Du Bois, Sojourner Truth, Sitting Bull, Maurice Bishop, Betty Shabazz, Sister LeBron, Marcus Garvey, Ida Wells Barnett, Fidel, Harriet Tubman, Paul Rolston, Sandino, Fannie Lou Hamer, Nelson and Winnie Mandela, Geronimo, MLK, Jose Marti, David Walker, Shirley Graham Du Bois, Martin Delaney, Lumumba, Septima Clark, Queen Mother Moore, Nkrumah, Gwendolyn Brooks, Sterling Brown, Margaret Walker, Angela Davis, June Jordan, Mr. Bashaw, Audre Lorde, Malcolm. We are here because while some countries pay lip service to an anti-apartheid policy, they continue to invest in an apartheid economy, arm the racists in defiance of UN resolutions to the contrary. We are here to celebrate the 62nd birthday of MLK, the 65th birthday of Malcolm. We are here because we have been retaught the nature of those in power who would say there are no hungry people or children in America, one who will continue to tell offensive ethnic jokes, one who would say sanctions against South Africa would deprive women of their lust for jewelry, one who will watch the rising unemployment of black youth with little comment, but would comment in a loud TV voice about the prostitution of young blacks, Latinos, whites on the Times Squares of the world as the suburban fathers step right up for their pick of black Puerto Rican white youth. Step right up, I say, step right up. A good sale on black and brown and white meat today. Young and tender bucks right here for your bourgeois dreams. Going, gone, gone. Sold to the highest bidder, Long Island businessman or congressman. Waiting in the eastern path of lust or college president. Stripping our youth literally of their dignity. All stuck in the backs of black Puerto Rican white unemployment. We are here because Puerto Rico was used as a staging ground for the invasion of Grenada, then Grenada as a staging ground practice for the invasion of Nicaragua. We are here to remember the invasion of Grenada done under the guise of restoring peace. We are here because of the continued displacement of Native Americans. We are here because Africans, Latinos, Native Americans, Asians are starving and dying in Somalia, Uganda, El Salvador, Ethiopia, Cameroons, Mississippi, Nicaragua, Harlem, on reservations, refugees, all. We are here because every 3 days,
120,000 children die of starvation or the effects of starvation. We are here because of the children of Atlanta, the children in the dust of MOVE, the rise of racism on college campuses, the detention of young brothers and sisters in South Africa, the killing of children in El Salvador. Listen to their cries, my brothers and sisters. Baba, Baba, Dada, 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 Mama, Baba, Baba. I am here in this detention center and they are hurting me and they have left me in this room and they have already killed one of our comrades and buried him here and no one knows what has happened. Dada, 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 Baba, Baba, I am here and they are coming back and they have put things on my penis and I am hurting and I was just marching against apartheid. Please, they are coming again and they are going to hurt me again, but I am here and I will be here. Mama, Sita, they have me stretched out on the ground and I think it is the 51 who is entering me and my blood is spilling on the ground and the soldiers are laughing and singing and dancing and looking and laughing and singing and dancing and look, Mamacita. Maybe so. I think it is the 25th one who is injuring me. And I'm only 13 years old. I am only 14 years old. I am only 15 years old. And I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Mama, Sita! Daddy, where you at, Daddy? Daddy, Mama, where you at? We in the basement. We in the basement here in Philadelphia. We in the basement. And the fire's coming towards my skin. Mama, the fire is coming towards my skin, and it's burning my skin, and I cannot breathe, and the police, they're firing us, and we can't get out, please, Philadelphia, don't let me die, please, don't let me die, New York City, don't let me die, I'm only 14 years old, I don't want to die. And we've got to turn the cries and the screams of our children into bright green laughter. We've got to organize and unite and come together and organize and unite and come together and organize and unite and come together. Come on, blood. Come on, blood. Organize. Come on, walk it. Walk like Malcolm. Spit fire like Malcolm. Come on, blood. You can do it. Walk. Organize. Come on, blood. Get off your ass and walk and organize. And right here at the college, organize at your job. Organize in the country. Organize. Come on, Latino. You can do it. Organize. Come on, Asian. Organize. Come on, Native American. Organize. Come on, gays. Organize. And unite and organize and unite and it will get better. In three words, Ibe Yee Ye. Ibe Yee Ye. Ime, Yee Ye 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 Ye
Organize, unite, come on, it'll get better. It'll get better, come on, yes, it will, blood. It'll get better, come on, organize, organize, unite. It will get better, it will get better, it will get better, it will get better, it will, eBay, eBay, yay, yay, eBay, yay, yay, eBay, yay, 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 yay,